reveal to you what this particular eye test is all about, I ask you this question. Have you ever wondered why God saved you? After he saved you, I mean, he left you here on this earth. But you've been saved. Why did he leave you on this earth? Now, this is the sort of question that would never occur to most people. And indeed, when you first hear it, probably no quick answer comes to your mind. You see, if God had wanted to, he could have taken you directly to heaven the moment you trusted Christ as your personal Savior. But he didn't. Which means that he left you on this earth for a reason. The simple fact that a Christian is on earth and not in heaven is proof that there is something for him to do, or him or her to do, here on this earth. No matter what the age may be. So what is that purpose that God left you here for? I want to put it another way. What is it that we can do on earth that we can never do in heaven? You ever think about that? What is there on earth that you can never do in heaven? Certainly there are some things we can do in both places. We can sing on earth, as we sang this morning. We also can sing in heaven. The Bible teaches that we will be doing some singing there as well. We can fellowship with other believers on earth. And we certainly will have fellowship with believers when we get to heaven. And of course, there are other things that could be added to that particular list. However, when you think about it, there is one main thing you can do on earth that you can never do in heaven. You know what? You know what it is? Here on earth, you can tell a lost sinner about Jesus Christ. There will be no sinners in heaven, only sinners that have been saved by grace. So if you're going to tell a sinner the good news, you've got to do it here, while you're here on planet Earth. And it is our mandate from the Lord himself. As the Lord spelled out the scope of what is involved in fulfilling that mandate? I think he has. In fact, it's found in Acts chapter 1. If you want to turn there, Acts chapter 1, we have been looking at that particular chapter over the last month. And I want you to notice when Jesus spoke these words. It was just prior to his ascension into heaven. It was 40 days after his resurrection. His last words of instruction. What exactly were those words that Jesus felt were so important to share with his followers before exiting planet Earth? Let's read them together. It's found in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Very familiar passage of Scripture. I'm sure that it's one that you may even have committed to memory. Here's what it says. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Notice what it says. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You see, in this passage of Scripture, our Lord announces the mission he has committed to his followers. It is the very heartbeat of our Lord. The reason why he came to this earth. The reason he was willing to die on that cruel cross of Calvary. Jesus came to deal with the sin problem. The responsibility to pass on this plan for the salvation of lost souls is what Jesus left his disciples as he exited this world. That, friends, is the same message that he has entrusted to us who are Christians. His 21st century disciples. The question we need to ask ourselves at this point is, well, how effective have we been at fulfilling that mandate? I think that's a crucial question. A simple eye test would be worthwhile for all of us to assess how well we have done in that category. It will reveal the extent to which we are actually fulfilling that mandate that it has been given to us. Now, going to an optometrist to have our eyes examined helps us to discover the health of our eyes. An eye exam gives your eye care professional a chance to help you correct or adapt to vision changes and provide you with tips on caring for your precious eyes. Or he may let you know that, hey, your eyes are in good condition. Now, when it comes to eyesight, there are several basic problems that an individual can encounter. The first problem is a pretty obvious one. It's blindness. Blindness. No vision whatever. You ask Margaret, she's not here today, but you ask Margaret what that's like. But you know something? I've never heard her complain about it because she's so full of the joy of the Lord that complaining just isn't part of her DNA. What a testimony she is of God's grace to be able to rise up above such a challenge. And incidentally, although Margaret can't see us, she loves it when you go to her and you offer her a hug or a handshake and chat with her after church in the foyer. She can't see you, so she's not going to go to you, but you can go to her and connect with her. And it'll bring a great big smile on her face when you do that. In the severest form of blindness, one can't even see light. Such impairment, as the proper term is today, can also be partial, where you can see somewhat, but your vision is limited. That condition may have resulted because of cataracts. In that case, a surgery is needed to correct that problem. Some of you have had such an operation, or some of you may be anticipating having one in the near future. But you know, there's another eye condition some experience, and it's called farsightedness, or hyperopia. It's a common vision condition in which you can see distant objects very clearly, but objects nearby are blurred. The degree of your farsightedness influences your focus ability in that regard. The opposite to farsightedness is obviously nearsightedness, or myopia. It's a common vision condition in which you can see clearly objects that are near to you, but far away is, well, it's blurry. That occurs when the shape of your eye causes light rays to bend or refract incorrectly. Thus, images are focused in the front of your retina instead of on your retina. And then there's another common vision problem called astigmatism. It's caused by an error in the shape of the cornea, which is the lens of the eye. With astigmatism, the cornea has an irregular curve in it. This results in a change the way the light passes or refracts to your retina. This causes blurry, fuzzy, or at times distorted vision. Of course, there are many other problems. These are the ones I'm referring to this morning, or the common ones that a person often encounters. Interestingly, these physical eye problems are the same basic problems that Christians encounter regard to their spiritual eyesight. Did you realize that? They're initially described for us in the injunction our Lord gave to his followers in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Here's something to remember. The way you view the world as a Christian is so very, very important. Because it will determine the extent of your passion to fulfill the mandate that God has given to you. So let's take the test. See how we do. The first condition that some Christians suffer from is what could be called spiritual blindness. This is where that person fails to see the non-believer as being really a lost soul. The reason that occurs often is because the Christian is viewing the non-believer through the physical eye gate only. In that case, his spiritual eyesight is non-functioning. He's blind as a bat in regard to the actual condition of that non-believer. You say, well, how does that happen? In fact, I don't need to say it, because I know I have too often been guilty of the same. This occurs when we simply see that individual as, say, a successful business person, or a successful athlete, or just a very likable individual who would do good to his neighbor. Often he's a very outstanding person in the community. In such cases, it can happen that it doesn't even cross our mind that if that individual does not deal with a sin issue in his life, no matter how nice that individual may be, they're actually going to hell when they die. The spiritually blinded Christian therefore has no passion about trying to reach to share the good news of the gospel with such an individual. How do you view your non-believing friends that may fall into that condition? Do you see them as a needing the Savior? Do you become burdened regarding their lost condition? If you don't, then you're suffering from a condition called spiritual blindness. Now, there's another condition that some Christians suffer from called spiritual farsightedness. This is where they have caught a vision for foreign missions. Jesus states in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 that he wants us to be witnesses to the ends of the earth. They get it. They have a keen interest in world missions. They love to give to foreign mission projects. They jump at the chance of a mission trip. They may write missionaries. They will faithfully attend a service where a guest missionary is present. They'll pray for the various mission fields. And friends, that's very commendable. We need to be doing that. But when it comes to connecting with people on the home front, that's a far different story. In fact, it's the furthest thing from their mind. They have no passion to reach out to their own neighbors. It's not on their spiritual radar. They are spiritually blind to the lost world right at their doorstep. How about you? How would you think if you fit that description? Now, there's another eye condition that affects some believers. It's called spiritual short-sightedness. Jesus states we are to be witnesses in Jerusalem. These Christians immediately realize he's referring to witnessing on the home turf. So they're going home to do it. They'll get all excited about witnessing on the subway and to their unsaved neighbors. In fact, they are intentional about building relationships with their neighbors and with fellow workers for the simple purpose of sharing their faith. There's a term for that. It's called friendship evangelism. And friends, that too is very commendable. But when it comes to foreign mission, it's a totally different story. People who are spiritually short-sighted are not motivated in any way. In fact, they will find other things to occupy their time whenever a missionary comes to the church. When it comes to writing to a missionary or praying for the needs related to a particular mission field, their heartstrings are not even touched. Might that describe your condition as it would relate to our Lord's ministry? Now, there's still another condition that affects many Christians. It could be called spiritual astigmatism. As with the physical condition, these individuals have developed distorted vision in regard to the kind of people that they're willing to share their faith with. You see, the early Christians had a problem with that. They had a real problem in that area. This group often despised those half-breed Samaritans. In fact, when taking a trip, that would mean the shortest way from A to B was to go through Samaria. They would avoid the area like the plague. Wanted nothing to do with it. The early Christian Jews despised the Samaritans and wanted nothing to do with them. Sharing the gospel would be the last thing that would be on their list. Then there were Christian Jews who despised Gentiles. They felt quite comfortable sharing their faith with their own kind, but they were not willing to go any further. If we have that mindset, we will avoid sharing our faith with certain people too. You see, there are some individuals we want nothing to do with for a variety of reasons. They maybe come from the wrong side of the tracks, or their personality rubs us the wrong way. They may use language or have a lifestyle that we don't condone, or maybe they have hurt us or hurt a loved one very deeply. And so we may act as if we really don't care where they end up in eternity. Or it simply may be that a person comes from a different culture and we don't feel comfortable sharing our faith with them. We feel we don't really know how to really relate to those individuals that God has allowed to come into our lives. Do you ever struggle with that? Then you're suffering from a condition that could be described as spiritual astigmatism. Friends, in fact, I believe our Lord's desire for all Christians is that we have a heartbeat for all lost people. You will notice there is no exception clause found in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We are to be reaching out to our Jerusalem, our Judea, which is in our case would be the province of Ontario, or even it could be extended to Canada. And then it even includes Samaria and extends to the ends of the earth. In other words, wherever you and I go, whoever God brings into our lives, that becomes our mission field. If we see it as such, then we could be described as having 20/20 vision, or perfect vision. You think you have 20/20 vision? Or is it somewhat less than that? If so, you need not become discouraged, friend, because God has provided a way that we can have His heartbeat for the lost. Don't you love that? The solution is spelled out quite nicely here in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Notice how our Lord begins His message to His followers. He says, you will receive power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And then what does it say? maybe? No. It says you will be eyewitnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You see, the ingredient that is often missing in our lives if we have difficulty in sharing our faith is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Jesus states that when the Holy Spirit comes upon them, they would end up being witnesses. You couldn't stop them. Did it actually happen? Yes, it did. All you have to do is turn to Acts chapter 2. That chapter almost blows your mind when you think of how excited these individuals were to share the faith. You see, here you have individuals who up to that point, they had been shy. They had been scared. They had been hiding for fear of what might happen to them. Now, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they had a boldness that amazed those who heard them speak. They were ready to fulfill completely the mandate set out to them by our Lord, no matter the cost, no matter who the individual was. And it was cross-cultural when they shared their faith on that day of Pentecost. They came from all different countries. You see, that's a key to 2020 vision. Do you long to have the same boldness as demonstrated by those early believers? Then you need to seek the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Only then will you be set free to be all that God would want you to be. It's only then that we will pass God's spiritual eye test. Where do you need to sharpen your focus? Is it Jerusalem? Is it Judea? Is it Samaria? Or is it foreign people? What are you going to do about it? Our priority is people, reaching them in whatever way we can for the Lord Jesus Christ, in whatever time He gives us here on planet Earth. This is God's job description for His children. Jesus said, "You will be my witnesses." What did He mean? In its basic sense, a witness is one who declares the truth to another person. What does that mean in the spiritual sense? I'd like to offer you three answers to help us understand what it means to be a witness for Christ today. Number one, what does a witness do? A witness tells what he or she knows. That's what a witness does. The dictionary defines the word witness this way. It is one who has seen or heard something, and one who furnishes evidence for that fact. A witness is someone who can say, "I know this is true. I believe it with all my heart." A witness then is someone who tells what he knows and only what he knows. Let me apply it very simply. You don't have to be a theologian to be a witness to Jesus Christ. You don't have to go to Bible college or to seminary. And you don't have to be a missionary heading off to some foreign mission field. It doesn't require a college degree. It doesn't require a high IQ. Just tell the truth about Jesus to anyone who's willing to listen. It's that simple. That's where witnessing always begins. Number two, a witness shares what he, she has experienced. If you know Jesus as your personal Savior, you simply talk about what he has done for you. You can share how he's changed your life. You can tell how he guides you day by day, how he gives you strength to face your trials and courage to conquer your fears. You can tell how he found you in your sin and gave you a brand new life since it's your story, and no one can argue your story. It's personal. Let me add one word of advice. You don't have to convince your friends that they need Christ. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. There's a big difference between telling and selling. If you do the telling, listen, if you do the telling, the Holy Spirit will do the selling. You can't do His work, and friends, He won't do your work either. Tell the truth about Jesus. Tell how He's changed your life. And then pray like crazy for God to make your friends hunger for Jesus. Number three, a witness remains loyal to the very end. The Greek word for witness is translated in the English as martyr. It means being loyal to Jesus no matter the cost, and speaking up for Him even when others oppose you. How many of us are really willing to do that? In the early church, believers chose death rather than denying the name of the Lord. Did you know that today there are 260 million persecuted Christians in our world whose lives are at risk for the very same reason? Since most of us won't be called upon to do that, here's a much harder question. Are we willing to live? The songwriter penned these very thought-provoking words given in the form of a question. Am I a soldier of the cross? Follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own His cause? Or blush to speak His name? Do you want to be a witness? You can be. But don't try to do it in your own strength. Seek the power of the Holy Spirit, and you will be amazed as to how He will use you in the days that lie ahead. Be excited, days for it. Our closing hymn reminds us of the very heartbeat of our Lord that He had for the lost. May our heart cry be that of our closing hymn. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep for the erring one. Lift up the fallen. Tell them, Jesus, mighty to save. If you're lacking in the power of the Holy Spirit, having the power of the Holy Spirit to do that, just so I welcome you to come forward and spend some time at the altar and praying for the Holy Spirit might come.